Apparently, there is like a little thing. What's it called? The worldwide. Well, internet. There's a new thing that you can search up information on and find
out. I've already said to the internet.
All right, okay. You know what, Ross? I'm sitting here. I put this Cousin Eddie costume on. I thought I'm going to put on something that is quite traditional Christmas, and there's nothing more traditional than Randy Quaid in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. But I have got this beautiful rabbit fur hat.
It's your fuzzy wig.
It's my fuzzy wig.
Your fuzzy wig.
It's like about 28 degrees in this apartment here right now, and as a result, already. Perspiration is starting to fall down my face, so I'm going to take it off. So off with it.
What you need is a nice cold basement.
A nice cold beer.
A nice
chili beer. We're going to have one, aren't we?
Fair point. It's true. I am Ross, that is Ian, Rebecca is joining us as well, but this is a red ale. This is out of Guysborough County. And even on camera. And this is also a red ale out of Bedford, Nova Scotia. I thought we could try to do some strong ales, didn't get around to it. And then, I wanted to do brown ales, but one of the brown ales that even Chris suggested, I think he even suggested as recently as last week, again, and it was one of my favorites. Garrison Nut Brown is a favorite of mine, and it's sometimes in the LC, sometimes. But apparently they're all sold out again, so I couldn't get it. And we looked. You looked, I looked, we looked in several. I've checked at least three in my nearby region, but couldn't find it. So, on the bright side, because having drank our holiday ones last week, I'm really glad we're not doing holiday ones this week, because I don't think I could have dealt with that kind of disappointment being only 4 days away from Christmas and drinking Christmas beers. I'm glad I've had some time to sort of resolve my feelings on how disappointing all three of those were.
They were underwhelming. I think that's the nicest thing you can say about them. They were just pretty standard fare, weren't they? Nothing too exciting to sort of get you up for the Christmas spirit. It just tasted like regular, slightly spiced beer. It was all right, Ross. It was better than drinking a Keith's. But it was still
pine beer too.
It was better. No, Rebecca said it was better than the pine beer, and we had this discussion. No, and we were thinking, okay, the beauty of that pine beer that we did last year was that it was so stupid.
It was great.
It was great as a result of it. You thought, yeah,
we shouldn't be doing this. We have all the wrong opinions. here, try this. It's normal. Get it away. I don't want normal beer.
If you gave someone a milk and cookies stout for Christmas as a gift, and they opened it and drank it, they could enjoy it instead of being like, "This is awful. It's just novelty." They could say like, "Well, that's okay. Thank you. I like that."
Yeah, it didn't taste festive or seasonal to me. It just tasted like a regular milky stout.
Enjoyable.
And you know what I'm realizing we should have done? We should have Christmas or holiday spiced the rims of our glasses for the reds. We're not going to go and do that right now. There's no
To the kitchen.
Sudden change. Because I thought about that. We did like cinnamon and sugar for the pumpkin spice one. And I think I added a little bit of nutmeg in mine, and that's why mine tastes a little weird.
I threw maple syrup at mine in a big way, and it worked very well. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what else you could do. What would make it holiday spices as opposed to pumpkin spices?
Pine salt. We found out last year. Throw some pine salt at it.
Pine needles. Some pine needles around it. A little bit of coal, definitely coal dust.
I like that. Nutmeg, of course, is cinnamony. Is kind of, it's Christmassy as well, isn't it?
I'm trying to figure out how you would differentiate. Well, we could talk about this all night.
That whole thing from Thanksgiving to Christmas kind of just splurges into a big melting pot. So anything at the end of the year, if you throw cinnamon and nutmeg and cloves at it, then you can basically say, there we go, that's a festive ale or end of year ale.
Here's a funny thing that you apparently are not remembering, but Canadian Thanksgiving takes place before Halloween.
Mm-hmm. What did I just say?
Thanksgiving and Christmas are very splurged together at the end of the year. Thanksgiving is very close.
Is it the second weekend in October?
Yeah, it's the middle of October.
Whatever it is. Oh, it's very early.
Because up north, there are harvest seasons much earlier than they are down south there.
You've been trying to promote this arm twister. It's at the end of your arm. I'm twisting your arm. So what, go for it.
What I like about it, and I think the rare bird out of Guysborough County, what I love their can art. Their the art on the cans, and the beer cans and bottles and whatnot, because they did a full steam stout, but that was a good one, but there was another rare bird one that I had that was quite good. Now I can't remember what we've had, but I would love to know who's doing their art for them, because I don't think they recognize anybody on the can itself. No, just the ingredients.
It's a red winged blackbird.
It's a red winged blackbird. It is.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. You can see his red wings. Look at that. Now, are those the ones that they fly around at Miner's Marsh? Do they not?
Yeah, they do. They sit on the reed.
And I finally saw a couple.
Beautiful.
Of them. Yeah. Anyway, a rare bird, specifically this one out of Guysborough County. This is the rare bird. Arm Twister Red Ale, a 5.0%. Doesn't have any IBUs or that other strange measurement. What did we look up the last time? That was a crazy number. But the listing on the side, yeah, there is a little bit more. I earned my name for the best grip in town. With my puffed red guns, I'll wrestle any challenger who has eyes for your lovebird. You can count on me as your wingman when we're out, no doubt. What?
Yes.
So it's sort of the persona of the red ale arm twister, and then it actually describes the thing. So our
it's
red
like
ale.
It's an IPA sounding description.
It's very good.
Oh,
yeah,
no. Is it going to be an IPA?
I know they can't do that to reds. See, too, not everything.
Me puffed red guns up. Our red ale takes your taste buds on twists and turns. With 7 specialty grains, this rouge beauty opens with aromas of smoked toffee from deep-roasted malts before surprising you with a dash of spice from our Canadian rye. Now that's a twist.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
I am very intrigued, but again, I'm seeing nothing about the art on there. That is sad to me, because I would love to know who's making these. If it's someone, you know, I'd love for it to be someone in-house would be nice.
At this stage, would it bring to my notice the Authentic Seacoast Brewing Company, do they parent Rare Bird craft beer?
It might be very similar, because Uncle Leo's is not the name of the brewing company.
No.
It's the Whiffen Brewing Company, but everything is called Uncle Leo's this, because it's named as... And I think it's the Uncle Leo's Tap Room or something like that. So I think Rare Bird might be the same thing. I don't think they're making more than one type out there. Do you know where we could check? We could check my delightful...
I have no idea. You'd have to go to a library or something to look that kind of thing up.
The NS Beer Blogs page that I sent you, because it's got a listing of the breweries in there. And it'll probably just say either Rare Bird, or it might actually say Authentic Seacoast.
Yeah.
And that's a bit of a flex, though, to say that you're the authentic seacoast in Nova Scotia, because we're all seacoast. You're a half hour away from the ocean at any point. So if you are the authentic seacoast, is that not pissing off 90% of the rest of the province? Maybe.
I don't know. This is not a geography show. This is a beer show.
Oh, boom. All right, fine.
Actually,
we'll
it's really not, is it?
It's a little bit of everything, I've certainly noticed. I've cracked it open.
Oh, you have? Good.
Ooh. And on your... Ooh. Mm. Okay. On your recommendation from last week, I have immediately sniffed it upon opening it, because the one time I didn't do that, the smell wandered off on me and I didn't get a chance to inhale any of it. Am I crazy, or am I smelling a gin and tonic?
Gin and tonic? Well, they were talking about a Canadian rye in there. Do you think they haven't barrel aged this beauty, have they? Without telling us they have.
There's some really interesting...
There is. There's some notes of stuff. You know when someone says, oh, there's notes of this. There's notes of... Get your nose around that.
Juniper? I don't know, maybe? Some kind of...
Something interesting going on there. I'm going to have a water, of course, because I've just had a Guinness. I don't want a taste of Guinness in my mouth while I'm drinking.
Certainly like herb-ish?
Yeah, it smells like a cough drop. It smells like Ricola.
Eucalyptus.
Yeah, Ricola cough drops.
Is that a good
something
thing?
Very interesting in that. It's peppery. I'm smelling like
It does like smell pepper, herbally.
Celery? There, that's like a spicy vegetable. So it's kind of...
You know, normally reds disappoint me, Ross. The amount of times I've cracked open a red and thought, yeah, it's all right. But they don't excite me very much.
I think you missed out on my favorite week.
Mm.
The Butcher Block Red Ale from Tatamagush. Yep. It's in the LC.
Yep.
Try it.
Try it? Okay. Did you review it?
Yes.
Okay.
It impressed. I thought it was amazing. I thought it was so cool.
If you'd have been wearing socks right now, they'd have been blown off, wouldn't they?
They'd be off. They wouldn't be anywhere
it
near my feet.
Like Ricola cough medicine to me.
Ricola cough medicine. I don't think I've ever had that. I'm not familiar with it.
I'm getting like a
little bag of Ricolas, like in a wrapped package.
Did I?
Like Swiss herbal.
Did it work? Did I
like
it?
I loved them.
Oh, I loved them. Apparently, I loved them. I love Ricola.
Sort of herb,
I've never heard of them.
Some sort of herbal thing.
But I love them.
Spicy celery, herbal tomato soup. I'm getting a lot of things off of this, but if they're saying that it was made with 7 grains.
What are you talking about?
V8.
Yes! I am smelling V8 off of this. How interesting.
Now that I do love. That I really do love.
I picked up an 8-pack of V8 for Joe and Brittany at one point because they needed to be drinking things that were more healthy or whatnot. She just needed that more... I forget what they called it. I ended up drinking all 8. They both hated it. And I went, fine, more for me. Give me all of the V8.
Well, before we get our laughing gear around this, mate, the Untapped website, Pierre Landry.
Good old Pierre, right?
We don't know him, but he was drinking. He was drinking a craft beer at Untapped at Home. And he said, and I looked at this, I thought, is there a phrase here that I'm not familiar with to do with tasting beer? Because over the last sort of year and a half, we've come across some people's descriptions of beers, and we thought, what does that mean? And we went quickly to the internet and found out, and we learn as we go. Well, this is something that Pierre Landry says, and I'm wondering whether this is just a typo or whether there's a new phrase that we need to investigate.
Hmm.
He says that the Rare Bird Craft Beer Arm Twister is... And I quote, a solid red, but it has a gate I can't quite figure out.
Oh, interesting. Let's figure it out for him.
G-A-T-E?
Absolutely. A gate. Just like, you know, if some people say, oh, when your walk is your gate.
No, that's G-A-I-T, though.
Is it? Well, thank you for educating me on that. Well, this is literally like a garden gate. It's spelled the same way. So it has a gate that I can't quite figure out. Now, I don't know. Is that, has he gone to spell taste and it's auto-corrected him to, because he didn't spell it correctly or something?
To
or
taste
is there
something?
A gate.
To the internet.
I know. While
Does
you're doing that,
beer
I'm going to stick my nose
gate?
In it and also my lips. I'm going to have a taste of this.
How much iron is in beer? No, it doesn't really seem to have super descriptive.
Wow. It tastes herbally too. It's so herbally.
That's not a typical red, is it? That's got some stuff going on in it.
Mm.
There's...
Ooh! That continues to V8 my face.
Mm.
It's very herbally.
It is
not
herbal.
Like an engine. No, that's... Ooh! Oh! Ooh! Ah! Ooh,
It's like medicinal.
Is that good?
I like it. It's got a sharpness.
You know how I always say that Triders has that distinctive flavor?
Yeah.
This is similar to that distinctive Triders flavor, but without the sour edge on the end of it. This
it has
is,
a bite, though, I find.
Yeah, there's a little tiny bite.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
It's so medicinal.
I actually wish, normally I don't like my beer to be cold. I actually wish this was a little colder. We just put this in the fridge only sort of 10 minutes ago. I think it could probably do with being a little colder, which is unusual for me.
I like it.
Yeah, it's
been down in my cold room, so I feel like maybe I'm missing out on some of the spice, but I'm definitely getting, there's a little kick. There's a funny...
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a little punch to that. It's not bitter.
Rickard's Red, Ross, as you've mentioned several times before, was your first foray into out of the domestic beer territory, wasn't it? And that's right. And Rickard's Red is a perfectly quaffable, reasonably tasting, actually mass-produced beer. Let's call it what it is.
Yeah,
it is mass produced. But it was obviously it was your first foray into something that wasn't domestic.
Yeah. Oh, this isn't an East Coast India Pale
right.
Ale.
And it's fake fine, thing. But this is a million miles from it. That's still kind of bland. I find the Rickard's Red. This is very different.
It's a little citrusy.
Yeah.
It's got a zest, zing to it. Yeah. And I like how they describe this takes twists and turns, and then they don't describe it. They just say we used 7 grades, so good luck. Can I say it's a little bit more ambery brown
in
couleur?
Of course, it's color.
Yeah, I still can't understand what he meant by a gate that he can't quite.
I'm wondering whether or not it literally was just a miss.
I think we should figure that out for him and pinpoint it and
right.
come together.
Well, I think we know what the gate is. It's V8.
Yeah, it's spices and herbs.
It's a spicy vegetable juice. It's like celery and tomato and there's, I don't. They didn't use 7 grains. They used 7 vegetables.
7 vegetables. 7 vegetables.
Yeah. 11 herbs and spices.
Ooh, that would be. Can you imagine Kentucky Fried Beer? That'd be a neat little flavor.
If he couldn't quite figure it out, I think you two are among you. I'm just sitting here just quaffing.
Can I say? Definitely smooth. Definitely smooth. There's no bitter. There's no aftertaste. There's no bite at the back. It hits you in the middle. It starts out like a pretty basic red ale. You know, not too much of a personality. And then the middle is this whoom.
I mean, certainly with the smell, we knew there was something unusual on offer.
It takes a fraction of a second for it to say, "I'm a spice of vegetable."
If you guys had blindfolds on and somebody put that in front of you and you had a sip of it, would you be able to detect it as a red?
I'm wondering if I'd be able to detect it as a beer. You know, this is where I thought juniper in like a gin and tonic. Definitely some sort of gin drink in front of me. Yep. I would say this is probably one of those slightly fancy like gin vermouth combinations that I've never tried before
It's very complex.
Well, listen, let's go back to what it says on the can, Ross. I mean, it does actually say this rouge beauty opens with aromas of smoked toffee from deep roasted malts. Before surprising you with a dash of spice from our Canadian rye. Are we getting Canadian rye in there? Hello, Brittany.
I didn't know Canadian rye had spice, Ian says.
Definitely surprising. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Is she sick?
She's had that, you know, the cough, the respiratory thing? She's been coughing for about 2 or 3 weeks. And then what? And then tonight, today, all of a sudden she's got a super stuffy nose. And so she's the congestion goodness. And everything it's now the perfect storm.
Oh,
it's
all
the cough, the sniffle,
all
and the sneeze.
School hanging out stuff.
There's no more school.
The dog does not want to try the spicy tomato soup beer.
Wow.
We've decided it's V8 beer. Effectively. It's very... It's,
well, what? maybe Brittany needs to drink several pints of that because it's full of vegetables, iron, and things like that.
I couldn't get her to drink the actual V8. I don't think I can get her to drink the V8 beer.
Okay. Well, is it Canadian rye? I'm not getting whiskey for it.
It tastes like Jägermeister, gin, like
See, there
Ricola.
You go. I've never had Jägermeister, so...
What are you saying? You're 43 and you've never had a... 44, 45, I don't know, whatever, 40, whatever.
Keir will sort me out. Next time I see Keir, he's probably got the medicine cabinet of strange, aloof
Maybe
alcohols.
We'll finish with a glass of that this evening, the Jägermeister, just to settle our stomachs after several beers.
It's very, very medicinal.
It is very medicinal. Yeah. I like this, Ross.
Not Jägermeister.
Beers.
I like it.
I don't know if I like it or not. It's different, and I appreciate that. So it's not just every other red, and it is drinkable. It's just a little strange.
It is strange.
Well, you said you're not sure if you like it or not. I do like it, but I'm not going to drink much of it. That's my thing.
I'm only drinking one.
Yeah, if I was in a pub, I went out with my brother, I'm going down a pub with my brother and we're going to shoot the shit for a couple of hours. I'm not going to have another one. I'm not going to, certainly no more than two.
This is a what else you got kind of interest level thing. This is, yeah. Ooh, this is fascinating and weird, but could I have something that...
It's, that I like.
Now the aftertaste is starting to cling to the back on the back sides of my of my tongue, like way at the back there.
Yeah,
maybe the sourness is coming through at the bottom of the glass.
I actually like it. I appreciate what they've put into this because it's very, very unusual.
Yeah.
And for a red, because like I said, reds can often leave me completely like, God, it's just they're a bit boring. But this isn't boring by any means. It's
no,
quite
but
exciting.
But, now I want to blindfold you guys and give you.
Oh, you can't blindfold us.
Browns.
We're 30 miles apart.
Orders. Do you know what would be interesting? We should do that. Maybe that should be, if we did that on a yearly basis, we'll do a blind taste test of ones that we've had before.
Mm.
Yeah.
Would be weird.
Mm.
Let's start producing that.
Yeah.
Rouge Beauty opens with smoked toffee and then goes to deep roasted malts.
No.
And then it hits you with a dash of spice. See, I'm getting the dash of spice for sure, but the roasted toffee and the roasted malt, or the, what was it, smoked toffee and roasted malts? It probably doesn't matter. Roasted toffee and smoked malts.
I get toffee, no malt, but I do get the tongue thing at the back of the back of the tongue. Coating.
Yeah, it's a bit of cloying there. Yeah,
I'm certain.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Getting there. It is a roller coaster. It is, as they say. If you name your beer with a twister, I do kind of like it as an arm twister, and it does sort of feel like someone is wrestling you as a challenge, and it's the challenge is borderline pain.
And the strange is that the thing that's wrestling you is a giant red winged blackbird, and it's weird, and you're like, what is going on? And
he's,
it's like a
He's rather buff too. Look at those.
Yeah,
look at those muscles on there.
Red winged blackbird, and you're
he
like,
will take
this
you
is
down.
A dream.
It's getting sourer and sourer at the bottom there.
You're not sure,
I give this a lowish mark. I don't feel it's deserving, because my instinct wants to say like a 6.5, almost kind of low end, but
out of 7.
It's just, it's so interesting. It's just not tasty.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're going to have to differ on this one immeasurably. Yeah. By the way, I like the legs on your glass. It's going down in stages. Mine isn't. Mine's just, it's just left the glass completely.
Oh, no, the head and the bubbles on it are perfect. This is going quite well.
I'm giving it a really good mark because of its
unique personality?
I don't think I've had anything quite like that before, but certainly not with a red. Like I say, they're just so bland and middle of the road. But that to me is like I will reiterate, I'm not gonna have more than one at a pub. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I would say, God, that's a really unusual pint. Thank you very much for serving that to me. I wasn't expecting that from a red. Now what else have you got?
This is maybe why I want you to try the Tatamagosh Butcher's Block Red even more so, because it was bizarre. It was straight out of left field, and it had a bit of a spice to it as well, but it was drinkable. You know, it was spicy but malty at the same time, and I really liked the mix that was going on. So I think that's I've had the weird, interesting red before.
Okay.
And I still got to say, you know, you're going outside of the box a little bit, but I don't like
reds.
Mm. It's not an American red, though, is it? You know, the old we read up about the red ales there and how they came out of Ireland and into America.
A red is basically an Irish red. If you say that yours is a red beer, it's an unspoken Irish red beer.
This is very different. I'm going to leave my little bit as I'm wont to do these days
That's
in the bottom of the glass
there, idea.
So that I can go back to it after I've had the other
score on that.
Oh, my score! Good grief! How do I score that?
I'm still trying to come up with one for me.
It's tough.
I think I still got 6.75 there. I'll go between 6.5 and 7. I'll go 3/4.
Do you remember back in the olden days when we used to give these quirky little scores? I'm going to give mine 13 out of 17.
Fine.
We've reverted over the course of this to just plain and simple it, out of 10.
If you'll pay attention.
Yeah.
I never joined you. You would do it, and then I would just do an out of 10. So I was never really there with quirky ones, not near as often as you had been. Do I know where the humidifier is?
You are the quirkiest man I know.
I think it's in the dining room. My wife is asking me if I know where the humidifier is.
I was going to say, that was a segue, which I didn't quite understand. We were talking about the mugs then. You said, I think it's in the dining room. And I thought, if the dining room is like his code word for 7 out of 10.
Yeah, now.
Then I'd go with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, now.
I think that's a healthy 7 out of 10 in the boring out of 10 department.
See,
I think it's
The funny thing there is that you're giving it what you say is a high mark, and I'm giving it what I say is a low mark, and they're nearly
exactly
identical.
Very close. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So the next one, I'm having a little bit of the water here to get through the palate cleansing, whatnot.
Yeah, all the beers, as we've been doing this, we've all found out. That every beer that we have always says that it contains water. That's its number one, very high on the list of ingredients. And then hops comes in very close second. But water is very high on the list
and
of
yet,
contents.
Ironically, that's what we use to have a drink in between of our...
And Budweiser, it's even higher.
Sue, next on the reds for this evening. Yeah, I did that one. I totally forgot that we were trying to do holiday reds. That one wasn't even close to being a holiday. It's not trying to be a holiday one, but I'm trying very hard to say that this is December 20th and we're trying to have the odd craft beer, and we've already done the holiday ones, unfortunately. But this, out of Off Track Brewing in Bedford, Nova Scotia, is Off Track's Bullseye Red. And it is a 5.4%, so it is the slightly stronger of the two. It doesn't have anything on IBUs, nothing on anything else, and the off-track just shows a VW bus on there. But it does say, oh, wait a minute. They always say, we're going to level with you. We're not good at writing about ourselves, so I have to go all the way along here. Off-track Bullseye. And
while you're doing that, Ross, will you change your background?
Ooh, yes, I can change the background because here we are in the guy's real one. Now, you're probably not going to...
I imagine there's going to be a golf game going on in the background on the video screen. Oh, it's this one.
It's this one.
Oh.
Off-track Brewing. It doesn't have some of them. Sunnyside Blonde. I've tried that. I don't remember if you did. Filibert the Mysterious Hazelnut Porter was amazing.
Illuminati
Peanut Butter Stout got me drove. There we go. Bullseye Red Ale. I have found a description on the Off-Track site, which is offtrackbrewing.ca. This roasty red ale boasts flavors of caramel, toffee, toast, and light malt, a newer addition to the lineup that has quickly become a favorite. This might be the basic red that I am now absolutely yearning for, because I have had half of my cup of water and I can't quite get that sour V8 out of my mouth.
You know why I'm looking forward to this one so much?
I'm having a hard time not enjoying an off-track. I thought they'd been doing quite well. We've had this conversation.
Yeah,
because there was another one we had, and it said, this one tastes of toast. And we had a huge conversation about both liking toast.
Like, I love maybe, toast.
Maybe we are the most bland humans on the...
Yeah, but the thing is, there's different kinds of toast. There's, wholemeal, white, there's brown, there's three straight away there. There's lots of burnt toast. Yeah, there's slightly underdone toast. So which toast is this going to taste of?
There's old toast.
Old toast. I've cracked the bottle cap. That is slightly underdone white bread toast.
Is it from the smell? Yeah. Slightly underdone.
Take it all the way into the back of your
schnout. The worst toast has got to be white toast.
Well, the most boring kind of entry. That's entry level toast.
Entry level toast.
When you want to be challenged by a piece of toast, you're not getting a piece of white bread. You want sourdough.
Oh, gosh, give me a sourdough piece of toast.
Yes. Breakfast is white toast. Do
you think white toast is the best breakfast? Oh, that I disagree.
And with a grilled cheese also.
That's true. That's true. Now, if
it's not toast anymore, if you're keeping it with cheese,
I'd pee all over it. You know what, Ross? Talking of cheese,
like a Reuben sandwich isn't toast.
I went to the new. I say new. I don't know how long it's been there, but I think it's been there. It's not quite new. Yeah. Okay, there is a new artisan craft cheese comestible place in Waffle. That opened up. I don't know when it opened up, but apparently it's quite recently. So we were there last week. It's a cheese shop. Now,
oh yes, I have gone past that. I haven't been in.
There we go.
Because I keep wanting to go in and say that. Said.
I know you would. Now, of course, I saw that and I thought it should definitely say "Ye Olde Cheese Shop" with a double
I was
C and
sitting
E
in the public library on Thurman Street, skimming through Rogue Headies by Hugh Walpole, when I suddenly came over all peckish.
I love that you got that reference in because I would have gone there as well. I know that you're a Python person. Anyway, so I thought, Rebecca was doing something in a store. I said, I'm going to nip along to that little cheese shop that we just passed and buy myself some cheese because Christmas time is cheese, isn't it? For me, it's cheese and crackers, nuts, obviously alcohol. But I like to get some nice cheeses at Christmas. Normally, if I'm going to get nice cheeses, I'm going to get them from the superstore at 50% off because cheese is so bloody expensive.
It truly is. When you're not just
buying a crappy old Cracker Barrel kind of cheese, then you've got to get yourself. You're going to have to get a decent cheese at half price. Well, I went into that cheese shop and I looked down and thought, "Oh, they look nice. I think I'll have one of those. I'll have one of those." And I got 100 grams.
$50 later.
Did I mention? I think I probably did. Anyway, 100 grams of one. I think 120 of another. I had three pieces of cheese, which this wonderful man individually wrapped, like he was wrapping Christmas presents on to give to his loved.
Like
one.
He was wrapping your life savings up.
Absolutely, and he put little individual. He wrote the receipt on each one. And
you get his birth certificate with it. This came from a cow called Daisy.
And then said, okay, that's like 320 grams of cheese meat. That will be $48.50, please. And my heart sank. Because I did not look at the prices. I thought, I'll just get a little bit, like 100 grams of each, which isn't very much.
Nope.
And when a guy has put that much effort into it, and saying, oh, you like this, you'll like that, if you like blue cheese, you'll love this. I thought, yes, I do love cheese. And he gave me all those things and individually wrapped. And like I say, when he said the price of it, I thought, how do you then say to someone, nah, forget it, I think I'll go to Safeway or something. So I just gave him my credit card and I kind of swallowed and the rest is history. So I've been savoring it since then, bits at a time.
Tiny little bit. Is it good then?
Well, is it ever?
Okay.
I got two kinds of manchego and a blue cheese and blue Elizabeth. Oh, it's gorgeous cheese.
Because I like cheese myself, but I don't get much fancier than a jalapeno Gouda. That's pretty much where I end. It's my my fancy cheese starts at marble and ends at Gouda, and I'm done.
I thought you were classier than that, my friend.
No, you. How long have we known each other? You thought I? No, I know.
No, I was trying to big you up.
Am excited about this. This off track. This bullseye. Did it explain why it called it a bullseye? It just said, "Oi, we've started making a red." And it's new, and everyone likes it. And that's sort of what, I guess, bullseye just means that, we've made a popular red.
I like off track. We've tried them several times, but one overwhelming sadness about off track's brews, all the beers that I've bought, six or seven of them I bought at that time when we went up there. Yeah, Rebecca knows. I was like, look at the size of the
It is a smaller bottle. It's not a full can. It's only a 355 milliliter teeny tiny little bottle. Look, it just makes your hands look nice and big.
I've sneezed more than that, to be honest.
maybe lifetime, but no, I'm going to need to...
So small. Anyway, I wish all cans were regular. It's like they're saying, we are so We're so good that we're only going to give you little bits of it.
Here's the other thing. You know when you get, you know, the case of 12, the taller golds and the little short cases, short cans? Because the tall can, we can agree, is a 473 milliliter. The short can, believe it or not, is 391 milliliters. A small can of beer is more than this teeny tiny bottle.
I feel that 361 is a regular can of beer.
I feel like we've had this argument before, and I was still right.
Okay, well, in that case, I won't even look it up then. By the way, you can't be right about a regular can being 473. What do you call, then, a tall boy?
I don't know. I don't even call these tall boys. I just call these, that's a proper can of beer. That's the right one right there. That's
right.
These ones, I mean, obviously taller than, because this stumpy little.
This little can of Guinness here. This is a regular can of Guinness. This is 440, right? That's what that says. Yeah, that says 473 you're looking at there. But by the way, all the cans in the good old UK come in 500 mil, which is obviously exactly half a litre. Now, I don't know if that's because the UK, even though we voted out of Europe several years ago, everything, of course, is done in metric, and half a litre is the standard serving of beer. But, of course, an imperial pint is 550 millilitres. So even though we say, give me a pint of beer, barman, they don't give you a pint, they give you 500 milliliters. It's just shy of a full pint.
Do you know why? Because you British, you are responsible for the English language, so therefore every rule you make has 9 exceptions to the exception to the exception. The reason nothing is standard is because of I before E, except after C, or also except in rhyming in A as in neighbor or way. There's 5 except you made a rule. I before E always. The I always comes before the C, except all of these other times. That doesn't really count.
It's
going to be an exact pint.
Because it rhymes, yeah, because that's right, you're right. It's because it rhymes, it fits. But don't really take it. Like, every word in the English-speaking language must have at least an A, an E, an I, an O, or a U. We'll give you a Y. You can have a Y sometimes.
Yeah, I love that.
Sometimes
What are the vowels? The vowels are A, E, I, O, U, and sometimes Y.
Yes, I know.
If we forgot to put another vowel in there, then the Y counts.
That covers that law of English.
Anyway, so that's my point. I don't think you can say over in Britain things are a standard. No, it's not. There is no way that it's a standard because it's your fault. The English language is stupid.
Yeah, you're right. It's all my fault.
You invaders.
I've got my nose in this beer.
Again,
oh my God! It smells. Really good.
It smells quite malty, doesn't it? It's very brown.
Very malty.
Is it very brown? It's not so reddish. It's a bit more ambery brown.
Yeah. It's
is that the whole thing? Or did you split yours?
Yes. It's okay. Already a small bottle, as we just established, and Rebecca's got some of it. It smells quite toffee-ish. It says it has notes of caramel and toffee. I'm getting toffee up my nose. Mm.
This is the caramel and whatnot that I was hoping to get in the rare bird one. But I think this is going to be a bit more of the mix, I guess. Up the schnoot.
Absolutely. Cheers. Merry Christmas to you anyway, because I know it's just several days.
Yes, ago. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Hello.
That is a red.
Not, and it's not even that it's, you don't sort of say, yeah, there, that's a red. That's kind of a boring red, but this is, this is what I wanted.
Yeah, that's a good red.
Okay.
That's a red.
I think we've said that. We've established that.
Wait, hang on. What color?
I think that's
the R-E-D red. You said it was slightly browner than the other one, Ross.
I thought mine, not browner, but that same kind of not quite reddish tinge
this,
to it.
Actually, it's not as distinctive as the last one.
But it's distinctive red.
Oh, no. It's a distinctive red. Okay, then.
But
yeah,
it is smooth.
Oh, thank you. I was about to use that very word, Ross. It's not as distinctive, but it's smooth.
It is so smooth, and the malt and a little bit of the caramel toffee, there's something up front so that there's a little bit of a sweetness mixes with the malt. No bitter at the back end. So here's the thing that would happen here. You would drink this without noticing. And then the waiter would say, another? And you'd say, yeah. And then you would forget how many times you said, yeah. And you'd be 5 pints deep and think, didn't I just have two?
This 5.4%, isn't it? So it's not massively strong, but that's strong enough to have you talking bollocks in 3 or 4 pints of that, I would imagine.
They're small.
Oh, they're because they're small.
Because they're little.
Yeah, but no one in the pub is going to say, I'm going to pour you 355 milliliters. They pour you a pint.
I would like a 351 milliliter pint, please.
In the pub.
I hear you, Ross. This is nice, actually.
I would forget how many of these I'd had.
Yeah.
It's
easy to drink.
Yeah, easy to drink. Session red, I think, would be a good describer for this one. And again, off track, really liking their stuff. Now, what was their story?
They didn't tell you their story.
They never say anything. The description on every one of their bottles is exactly the same. They just say, let the beer do the talking. We're not going to be flowery.
It's true, but the pub itself, I'm going to... we founded our brewery on making highly drinkable beer, has been home to a blah, 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 blah. Okay, yeah, it's nothing. It's just three dudes. And, they actually do have a van. Now, was it Old Biddies that it was some dudes and they would make homebrew in their garage, and then their friends liked it so much that they actually finally got out of their garage and into their own place, and that's what Old Biddies is?
I
think that's what Old Biddies is. And I thought Off Track was very similar, with like three friends we kind of made it ourselves, but now we started making a whole bunch of it. Maybe I might need a little bit more research on that. We'll see. I tried to look
research
in their about section. I was at offtrackbrewing.ca. That's as far as my research is going to take me, I declare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a red fan, but this is perfectly fine. And I could drink this all evening. I'm happy with this.
I am a red fan. So there's the... Yeah, just that mix of malt and sweet and, a little bit of grain, sort of a cereally bready. There's a bit of a bready note in there. This one said toast, didn't it?
It said toast. We didn't.
It's not fancy toast, though, is it? No. This is, like I said, this is white bread, not overdone. Yeah.
If it's a red and it's toast, perhaps it's got jam on it.
No.
Maybe some honey. It's simple because there's no gate. It's just a red. It's like you don't have to go through anything. You just have it. It is what it is.
I like that. You came back. You referred to a reference we had at the top of the show. I like that.
I'll tell you what. I wanted something, especially after last week. After last week, the disappointment, I wanted something that was just going to taste
like
rewarding. Yes, like that. And Rare Bird was very interesting.
Yeah.
And I was curious about the whole thing. It's a fascinating flavor and a really cool twist on it. But this is what I wanted. I'm so glad we landed here. I am so glad to end on this one. Off Track Bullseye Red for a red. This is...
It's up there, is it, mate?
This is up there. I'll be nice. How many windows on a Volkswagen bus? I'm going to be nice and say that there's 11. No, 12. Front panel, back panel. So out of 12, I think this is an 11 out of 12.
Good.
11 out of 12 windows on your VW bus.
Definitely. Can I give you...
Rebecca actually says 7.5 for the last one. I forgot to say the Rare Bird was a 7.5. She goes.
Can I give you my marks for a second?
If you must.
Okay. So this is you know how there's all these are called pinions, the little points on the wing of the bird.
Oh.
They're called pinions. So
there were feathers.
On this one, the little points. I was going to give it. 7.5 pinions out of 10 pinions, but that was just a matter of opinion.
And also, the only reason why she knows that is because she's a zoologist.
Yeah, right.
And then, attention, zoologist. They've drawn at least 6 pinions on each hand.
Oh dear. Well, that's okay. They're trying to humanize it a little.
Well, I'm not a zoologist, but I know that birds don't have hands. They actually have wings.
And pinions.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. You suggesting that you can't arm wrestle a yellow...
red
waxwing
blackbird.
But this one, so if I was at a pub and somebody said, which one would you like to have? We have this or this. If I was hankering for a red, I would choose the rare bird because it's so cool. But
we are suckers for a cool design.
It's a true red. It's like this one's gorgeous. A 7.5 out of 10 for me, but this one's a 9 out of 10 because it's a true red. Mm-hmm. But I would still ask for this one because it's...
I would try that one first, and that's why we did the rare bird first because it's such an interesting can. It's
so interesting.
Such a personality.
But
and,
that's
and off track
rare.
Is, meh. Here's a van, pretty basic. But we've had this discussion a number of times, Ian and I, where I think specifically when we talked about propeller last week, we said let the beer do the talking, and you don't need to over design the can.
Yeah.
But
sometimes I both love the can and the beer of Good Robot. They almost over-design cans. They're gorgeous. They're wonderful with art and everything. But
yeah, you're drawn to them, aren't you? You're a sucker for a good can.
Oh, I'm a sucker for a good, interesting artwork bottle. It's just the colors and the shapes and everything just draws me right in. You could put a Picasso on every single can, and I'll go right for it.
Back in the olden days, Ross, I started a craft beer collection, okay? But unlike many people, I used to drink the beer first. I used to buy the bottles, everything that was available, pry the lid off. And by the way, they were all bottles. We're not talking crappy old aluminium. Or aluminum cans here. We're talking all bottles, and I'm talking about UK, British craft beer bottles, of which at any one time there are 2,000 on the go. Different craft ales being brewed in the UK approximately at any one time. Now, I got this thing in my mind. I created this little shed, which was now my pub. And my dad, bless him, my dad came and sat and was like, I like it here. Well, I want to stay. Pour me a pint. This was my little dream to have this little pub of my own in my, like most people have. They have a cellar bar or whatever. Anyway, and every week I would go out to the local superstore, Morrison's or Sainsbury's or Asda's or Tesco's or wherever, and pick up what they had on offer, much as you do when you go on your little road trips there with your good lady, and I would pick up what they had on offer, and I had at one point about 500. Bottles, all singular, individual bottles of craft ales selling in the UK. And it took me years to get this collection going. And I displayed them all. I built little display cabinets for them, like a real train spotter, like a real saddo, and displayed them all and had little Christmas tree lights behind them.
This story's going to have a really sad ending, isn't it?
I'm glad you said it. It's very sad. Anyway, so anytime I would have anyone come over, a mate of mine would sit here and he'd sit there and having a beer and say, oh, I've had that one. And he'd have a story about where he'd had it, and I'd have a story about where I had it. And anyway, and of course, I used to literally pry these things off, pour the beer out, and then hot water them all out so there was no yeast left over. So they were all perfectly, you can keep them. And then put the top back on it. Okay. But because, of course, all the beers in the UK, that craft bottles all come in dark bottles. They're not clear bottles. They're all dark bottles.
Are they the little stubby ones with a little shorter?
No, they're full half a litre. We've been through this. 500 milliliters is a pint. So,
but I mean with the neck on the top like that.
No, with a metric, a larger version of this. Okay. Every single one of them.
Do you remember the Roof Hound ones that we get? You might still have a Roof Hound Cinnabone.
Pretty much the same. But of course, you just said there, you're a sucker. And I said this, you're a sucker for the can or for the beauty of the label or whatever. Mm. And some of these are so beautiful and ornate, and they make great displays. So I had about 500 of these. I had them all, like you do, all documented, and I knew exactly what I had. Anyway, my ex and I, we'd travel around Europe and with these, and every time I'd taken boxes of these and set up my own little bar in. But when we guys really, and then we got posted back from Belgium to London, and we were going into this tiny little place, and we both basically said, there's no room for these. It takes up four huge MFO boxes to get these empty bottles. So, you know, and so I had to bite the bullet, and I walked down or drove my car down to the local bottle bank, and I put them individually. And
put them in the safety deposit box.
And it took 15, 20 years to get the collection going, and then about half an hour to get rid of them all. And everyone was like, smash, smash.
You should have taken a photo.
I've got photographs with my dad sitting in the basement.
See, that
surrounded
should be
by
our background. Can we make your little pub shed our background? Let's make that for the
maybe
life.
We'll see. Anyway, because
this dude, this person sitting behind me over there, they've been checking their phone for an hour.
Yeah, I can't see him. He's behind. There's no one else sitting there. Me. I think over your left shoulder, I see me, and I think I'm blocking him out in the screen. Your green screen.
Maybe.
Yes. I love this. I love it because it's so smooth. It's not massively full of flavor, but it's a really good red.
It is super delicious. It may not be interesting, but it's just such a good mix.
It's sessionable.
And I feel like this little adventure of us trying out so many different crazy beers. We even go on road trips to find, hey, what kind of nonsense do you have? And we now, I feel like I can recommend things to people based on what they might be not looking for, but just sort of say, hey, are you looking for something fun, stupid, or are you just looking for something that was going to taste like the proper thing? Like I now know what an adventurous stout tastes like, and I know what a good stout tastes like. Yeah. And I can, someone will say, hey, I'm looking for this, or, oh, I need, we're doing a theme party, and everything needs to taste like, pine trees. I'm like, ho.
Well, have I got one for you?
Have I got one?
That's right. But can you... I was wondering if because you've now had 130, 140 of these things over the past year and a half, you can't, unless you've got an incredible sense of taste, you can't bring to mind or recollect a flavor and think, oh, that tasted of blah, blah, blah. Because if you can, you should be on TV.
Certain ones resonate and stick.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, like, I remember the filbert, the hazelnut one.
Oh, that's another one by Off Track.
The peanut butter Illuminati one, one by them that I remember.
That's
and
true.
Like I say, I'm remembering back to both the Trider's Red, which tasted a little sour and weird, to the Butcher Block Red, which just tasted malty and delicious and fantastic. But there are a couple of reds in there that I won't lie. Well, no, the Old Biddy's Red, I do remember that I really liked the Old Biddy's Red. But if I were to try to compare it with the Off Track Bullseye Red, I don't think that I could. Because it was the same style of thing. Was it, the mix is great, you know, the malt and the sweetness and really smooth on the back end. So probably similar, but I certainly could not differentiate them from memory.
Uh-huh.
If I had them both next to me, maybe.
Well, did you or have you been marking or making any note at all of the markings that you've been given over the time? Because if you had, that would be quite... I'd be very surprised. But they're all over the place. But if
it's all recorded. It's all there.
I know. You've got a baby on the way, so you're not really going to have time to sit through 300 hours of footage. But I'm wondering if you could maybe highlight some of the really good ones. That you could have like a, I don't know, like a playoff, like you can go into a playoff between the really really good red of what you just mentioned against another really good red. Or even, and then, as a result of that, you could ascertain the champion red, and that goes up against the champion dark ale or stout, and eventually, of course, at the end of all this, the top of the tree, we all know what's going to win out of everything.
the Russian Imperial Stout from Bad Apple Brewery.
It's Russian Imperial Stout by Bad Apple. Absolutely. But that will win
the
everything.
The only reason that that one wins is just because it's perfection. But for me, I think I'm not trying to find the winner. I'm trying to describe all of them. And I know what, for me, are my favorites of each kind.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know what I'm looking for. But this, and hence, this is why we describe them down to the, ooh, there's a little bit of a, ooh, there's a funny little sour note at the end of that. So if someone says, hey, you know, I really like sour beers. Honestly, I recommend you try this one.
Yeah.
Because if you like that feeling at the back of your, that kind of yang, if you like that happening, this could be for you. You might like a kind of a dark.
Example of what we have to offer, what the whole product does offer.
So there's no, I know what my personal favorite is, but I don't think I would ever say this one is the best one. Nope. Yeah. I don't.
You can't do, of course not, because there's no accounting for taste, it would be Keith, or that would explain everyone's. The current beauty or love that people have for IPAs that just doesn't seem to be going away anytime soon. Oh, Rebecca wants me to try to re. Yeah, she wants you want me to reacquaint myself with the other one.
I'm
going to go back to the arm twister.
I'm literally frightened to do this because I think it's going to snap my head off.
It's very different.
I feel it's going to give me whiplash.
But it's
oh god,
it's so different. It's so
the,
different.
The smell of it, the smell of V8 hit me before it even reached my mouth at the bottom of the can. I was like, just get the celery out of the Caesar and.
Ricola. Yeah. There's definitely something very
Ricola.
Right. And to finish off, one last sweep of that. There we go. Why not? We've got several off tracks left. We've got one or two off tracks left, I think.
Do we?
Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. Oh, yeah. There's the sunny side, the blonde. There's a blonde. I've given you.
Might have drank the blonde. Just a moment. I'm going to look and see what I've got in my. Because I updated the basement stash. Oh, right. No, you're right. The Sunnyside Blonde is still in there, and the Universal Soldier Kolsch is still in there.
There we go. No, that's going to go idea. Up against. Goodness knows what that's going
to
go up
Kolsch,
against.
Yeah, we're going to have to find some other Kolsch. But we got another blonde. We've got that one from that you got from Serpent Brewing. The Judas Blonde is in there.
That's a terrible blonde.
Oh, shush.
Oh, sorry.
The Serpent Brewing, the Judas.
Rebecca's had that.
And here's my thing. The best blonde that I have found out of tasting my favorite blonde ale thus far is the Marigold Blonde out of Sober Island.
Right. Mine is Nine Locks, Dirty Blonde.
Anyway, I just said, you can come back.
It's too hoppy. I didn't like that one very much at all.
But this Judas one, way too this. I won't say anything else, but...
Well, you've just ruined it anyway, so you're not invited back.
Wheat ales.
Of course it is. There's no accounting for taste.
No, that one's gone. I don't have the blueberry wheat ale from Old Biddy's anymore. But we do still... Did you drink... You drank the Tall, Dark, and Handsome, didn't you?
Yep.
I hadn't done that one yet.
Okay.
That was the mistake. What? That
there was a bit of a mix-up with the beers.
That was that one. But I don't think we have another. Oh, it could have gone up against the new porter from Hilltop Hops.
Doesn't matter. We'll get another one.
It's not that far.
I guess I'll see you between Christmas and New Year, won't I? Possibly.
Well, what if you aren't doing anything on a Wednesday night? We have the old open mic night. It's still happening Wednesday nights.
That's tomorrow night.
At Tan Cafe. So I'm still doing that 6 to 8. In fact, we're uninterrupted. Most of the other ones are taking a week off, but our Wednesdays hit just perfectly. We're still open.
Perfect.
Unless they tell me that they can't, but no one's told me that yet.
I may be there. I may go to the cinema. I don't know.
We're expecting to see a few friends tomorrow. We hope, but yes. And then next week we'll sort out what we're going to try. And so next week is, I feel like that's more of a New Year's Eve almost. So we've got a couple of potential strong ales, I dare say.
Oh, beautiful.
So we've got a couple of strong ones. And that's a double IPA. I don't want to put that one forth. Was there another strong ale in there? We'll see. But yeah, I found some strong ales from Lund's Mill that I'm excited to try. Maybe we could try a double Lund's Mill one.
I can't. By the way, I didn't actually mark the second one. That's actually a really good smooth red. However, the first one is so unique to me. Not unique, but it's so unusual.
It is. Expecting it. Yeah.
That I can't really compare the two. The second one was a really good red, which I could drink most of the evening and go, oh, this is nice. Whereas the first one, I'd be like, this is really unusual. Thanks for sort of giving it to me, but I probably won't have a second. So in that respect, I probably tip my cap to the second one as a nicer beer for me personally. But the first one, because it was so unusual, rather like the pine Christmas tree thing.
But we didn't give the pine. What did we rate the pine Christmas tree?
Did you mark it down?
I've got it all. I've got all of it. It's all right here.
You need to get a life.
It was called the. I don't remember.
Oh, you got too much.
What
time.
Was it in? Tannenbaum, Hellbay. It was a blonde ale? I gave it a 7, you gave it a 6.
Oh, really? Is that
no,
what
you gave it? No, wait. I gave it a 6.5, you gave it a 6.
That's not good. All right, we just gave 7s and 7s. I think they're both really good beers tonight, but for different reasons. They're both good 7, 7.5s for me.
Interesting.
And on that note, I'm out of here.
Interesting. Like them both the same. They're so one was definitely smoother. But anyway, yes. So this will be going up. If you're listening to it, then listen to us again next week. We're live on Tuesday evenings, 8 p.m. Atlantic time, whatever daylight, the actual 8 o'clock Atlantic time, over at the Drink NS Dry Facebook page. And then the podcast goes up, and the abridged version goes up to YouTube, and there's lots of links, and there's lots of things, so you can join us again, and come in and be part of the live chat if you want to do that, or even watch the live video. And apart from that, thank you for watching and or listening to us, and we'll see you next Tuesday night. Good evening, all and everyone.
Good night.